So right after all the building plans are given and everything's mentioned, the Spirit, what does the Lord do? He puts a halt on the whole building project and he says, think for a minute of the goal. I'm not letting you forget the goal to what we're doing here. Well, you could say that with our building project. I won't let you forget the goal. What is the goal? It's not about your building or your kingdom. The purpose is that you would have a place for Sabbath.
The end justifies the means, spiritually speaking. When God sets out to build a sanctuary, he does so for a specific purpose. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. The test of Sabbath delight is up again for discussion in Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18. Join us there for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace. Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
You see this throughout the scriptures right after the fall in Genesis. Remember Genesis 5? It says that, and men began to call out on the name of the Lord. This is what they did. They would gather. That's what they did as a people. God always wanted a people gathering. You see this throughout history. They would gather together and call upon his name. So we have a call to worship. That's what we did to start this. This would be a demonstration of their separateness and the greatest means of their sanctification. That's an amazing blessing that the Lord is announcing here in Exodus chapter 31, that I want you never to forget your purpose on the earth. I want you, notice the things that are said here. I want you, number one, to know me. And I'm going to make myself known to you on the Sabbath. And I'm going to make it known to you that you are my people and that I have sanctified you. You belong to me. Oh, I need that. You need that. After a week of self-gratification, after a week of self-worship, after a week of discouragement, after a week of struggle, after a week of being incredibly selfish with my life, feeling condemned often because of sin, I get to come here and hear this. How do you summarize the purpose of the Sabbath? This is how I'm going to keep you. You have no idea how much strength you get from this. This is how I'm going to keep you. This is how I'm going to sanctify you. It's about one issue. Who's first in your life? Who are you serving? And when you understand that, all of a sudden and this will be even more so as we go here in a minute, the chains are taken off, if you will. And no longer am I hearing, don't. I'm hearing, delight. It's the beauty of what's being described. In fact, this was always what the Lord declared about it in his intention, Isaiah 58. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. We do that all week. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Wow. You want that? It's the chief desire of a converted and changed heart. And he's tying it to the Sabbath. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I went back and I like to remind of how the Jews' typical Sabbath was observed. And Sabbath meaning rest. You'll notice here that all this emphasis on delight, it was a day for the Jews to enjoy the Lord, the nation of Israel. The Talmud describes the traditional Jewish practice, and here it is. They viewed the Sabbath as a beautiful bride that would be greeted every week with joy. So they would speak of the Sabbath as a she. She's coming. In fact, here is one of their prayers. Come, let us welcome the Sabbath in joy and peace. Like a bride, radiant and joyous, comes the Sabbath. It brings blessings to our hearts. Workday thoughts and cares are put aside. The brightness of the Sabbath light shines forth to tell that the spirit of love abides within our home. In that light, in all our blessings are enriched. All our griefs and trials are softened. They would have Sabbath blessings pronounced, four of them. Then a Sabbath meal was shared. You'd had worship and prayer services. They would even have a ceremony that they said goodbye to the Sabbath. It's called the Havdalah. Celebrated at nightfall, blessings over wine and spices and lighting of a Havdalah candle. Not a Christmas candle, a Sabbath candle. Believe that? Everyone would depart to their homes and say, Shavua Tov. Have a good week. The Sabbath was understood to be a festive day of enjoyment. I want it to be a festal day for you, where you can put everything aside and you can enjoy me. Blessed, here's a blessing in worship I found. Blessed are you, eternal our God, who has sanctified us with commandments and finds favor in us, giving us the holy Sabbath as a heritage in love and favor, a remembrance of the creation, that day being also the first among all the holy occasions, a reminder of the exodus from Egypt. For you have chosen us and hallowed us above all nations, giving us your holy Sabbath as a heritage in love and favor. They understood the sign. They should have. What got lost in the generations. But we find these prayers of moments of real understanding. This is what the Lord wanted perpetually observed. The Lord wants us never forgetting why we're here, who we belong to, what we're doing, why we work every week. Let me pause for a minute and think a little bit. What has happened in a church culture that has completely abandoned the Sabbath and abandoned worship? And doesn't understand worship anymore. We'll look at next week what Israel did do. No more care to know God. No more care to study. Well, you can think about the consequences then of what follow naturally from that. Notice how serious God was about the Sabbath here in this particular section and the consequences in the Old Covenant. Listen to this in verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath because it's holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. How many times is Sabbath mentioned there to keep emphasizing how important it is? As much as we are able, try to look at this from the Lord's perspective of people who say, no thanks. Think about it. There's a reason he's strong here. What has he told us about the Sabbath? Well, I want you to rest. I want you to know why you exist as a people. I want you to not be enslaved to your work. It's all about money. No, it's not. No, it's not. I want you to know me. I want you to know that I'm sanctifying you. What was the Sabbath declaring? Gospel. Ultimately, it's a day set apart to teach us this, that we are resting from trying to deliver ourselves. We never are to forget that. Because we always forget that. We come together and we agree and we confess that we're sinners and we are in constant need of forgiving grace and help in time of need. And then our eyes and hearts are turned to the fulfillment in Christ as we understand that he came to work in my place for my salvation and entered that rest so that on the Sabbath, until I'm finally have entered, I can proclaim that. That's what we do in the supper. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And better understand that I'm resting from my works and learn all the more to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who is my Sabbath. So, someone in Israel says, stop being so legalistic. Huh? Here's what they're saying. This is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. Not interested in that. Not that important to know. As one pastor said, you're not worth the time it would take to get to know you. Notice he says, I'm going to sanctify you. I hear, as a time as a pastor, more people cry out for practical application. All my ministry, I've heard it. Well, we need more practical stuff in life, how to live. The very people who I see take worship very lightly and write it off as legalistic. The very thing that sanctifies them. Let me give you the most practical application you'll ever get here. You want to talk sanctification? You want to talk about how to get sanctified? Keep the Sabbath. To avoid it, you're saying to the Lord, I'd rather be with the world. And for practical applications, James says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Whoever does that makes himself an enemy of God. That's about as practical as I could ever get. See the test. People who honor it are saying, who don't honor it are saying, I don't want you. I don't want your grace. I don't want your gospel. It's the whole problem of humanity that every day we go out and live for ourselves. You see what God's hearing? This is a test. It's a test of vitality. It's a test of where you are. And yet he can look at our lives and see that we're committed to everything else. I mean, think about it. I'm committed to my earthly father. If he invites me to something, if they want, he had a celebration not too long ago where he was honored for something, I'm there. I wouldn't dare miss it. I'm committed to be at work every week. I'm committed to having my kids at school on time. I'm committed to numerous soccer practices throughout the week. Can you believe that? Soccer, of all things. And multiple times throughout the week. Well, we give good hours to that. I played college basketball. I never missed one of those daily two-hour practices, and they were torture. That coach screamed at me, and I was there, committed to my greatness. I'm committed to gym time. Going to get it in. I'm committed to have my kids, and you could add grandkids, to whatever they're, wherever and whenever they need to be and what time they need to be there. Now here comes the sour spirit. Sabbath. Ugh. Don't be legalistic about that. Come on. You don't have to. You don't have to worship, grow, be sanctified, understand, receive grace, receive. You don't have to. The one time I should say it, and I shouldn't. Good luck on your own if that's your attitude. It's a test. It's a test. It's where your heart is. Could I ever say of any of the other commandments, to further accent and emphasize this is a test, could I ever say of any other commandments, go ahead, just do it once. It's okay. Go ahead and commit adultery. You don't do it very often. You'd call me a cult leader. Go ahead and murder. Go ahead and steal. Go ahead. Do it. Go ahead and break the Lord's day. God says, verse 16, therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It's to be forever. You can't say, well, that's just the Old Testament. Jesus spoke highly of it in the New Testament. It was made for your benefit. Not to be a slave to be a benefit. You'll notice it was a death in the old covenant. And you say, well, we don't have death in the new covenant like we did in the old covenant. Well, yes and no, there is death from disregard of this. A recent church historian chronicled the decline of the Sabbath and the commitment in American churches to honor it, one by one, the evening services across denominational lines were dropped. No emphasis on keeping the day holy. The results? Spiritual vitality is almost completely lost. Droves are leaving the church altogether. All makes sense. If one of the purposes of the Sabbath is witness, this is how everyone's going to know my people are sanctified, gathering together. If one of the purposes is witness, this is how everyone knows that. This is how people know your separateness. You get up, you go to church, you're gathering with God's people. It's how everyone knows love is demonstrated by this. All men will know you're my disciples by the love that you have for one another, chiefly demonstrated in love for God and gathering and love for man and neighbor and concern for him. Well, you wonder why our witness is so pathetic today? It's a test of everything. We disregard that which tells the world most of who we are. It would make sense that our witness is lost. We're not trained in sanctity and sanctification. This is where it happens. The Sabbath is the greatest test of your Christianity and love for the Lord. And has everything to do with sanctification. It's an amazing thing, as it's been said. As we keep it, God uses it to keep us. But there's one more thing the Lord emphasizes here. The greatest blessing of its observance. What is it? Notice what he says. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. As long as God has a people on the earth, he says, I want you refreshed just like I was at creation. The Lord was reminding them by speaking of the Sabbaths in plural. This was a perpetual pattern that he himself did at creation. It doesn't belong just to Israel. And you know what's really fascinating? It's been observed. Look at this here. Since chapter 25, where he started giving instructions on the tabernacle, do you know he uses the same construction in the Hebrew? The Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said 6 times. And once we get to verse 12 here, in this section as it closes out, God commands rest the 7th time. 6 times the Lord said, and now he commands rest. Creation. Right here, tabernacle, creation. So right after all the building plans are given and everything's mentioned, the Spirit, what does the Lord do? He puts a halt on the whole building project and he says, think for a minute of the goal. I'm not letting you forget the goal to what we're doing here. Well, you could say that with our building project. I won't let you forget the goal. What is the goal? It's not about your building or your kingdom. The purpose is that you would have a place for Sabbath. That's the goal. That I'm going to meet with you. And I'm going to feed you. And I'm going to help you. And you get to come and take delight in me and worship me. That's the purpose of all of this. In this way, all of this anticipates the final completed project by Jesus. The building, his work, and the goal of that being that we get to rest. That's what we're going to go do forever. All creation anticipated already the consummation by Jesus, our rest. Sabbath was the gospel sign. We'll close here with this. Every time the Psalms speak about the Sabbath, and particularly the psalm that we're going to sing here in a minute, Psalm 92, the only designated psalm for the Sabbath in the superscription, a song for the Sabbath. When it's given under inspiration like this, Psalm 84 was, we have others, but peculiarly Psalm 92, it's presented as the most exciting, the most thrilling, fulfilling thing one can do with their life. Listen to this. A song for the Sabbath. It's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. The righteous flourish like a palm tree planted in the house of the Lord. He is our rock and our salvation. planted in the house. It's a whole day for you to refresh, be refreshed and enjoy your Lord, to know him, to serve him, to love your brethren, to glory and praise for his gospel of grace to you, to get everything you need for the way heading to Zion as we sang out. Isn't that just the blessing of what you experience here today that you've taken for granted and I've taken for granted? Call it a delight. I hate to say this because it's been so abused. It's the key to the Christian life. I don't want ever to do what the Pharisees did to the Sabbath and make it a list of rules, do's and don'ts to the extreme, and wreck this beautiful garden God gave us to enjoy by erecting walls and fences so that we can never enjoy it. But this is the Lord's refreshment to you. If you're like me, we're often a mess in the course of the week. I know some of you are sitting here this morning discouraged and frustrated and condemned because of sin and wondering if God loves you, struggling to see how you're going to get out of the mess you're in. The monotony of the work week. You've got moms here who have to deal with a lot of children at home. Monotony. Same thing. Over and over. Feeling confined. And the Lord comes on this day, meets with you. You know what he says to you? You're mine. I love you. I've forgiven you. I've washed you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm not here to strike you. You need to be here. Next time we'll see how Israel did. Next time we'll see. But I encourage all of the brothers and sisters here today, enjoy the freedom the gospel's brought you. Freedom. Let us welcome the Sabbath in joy and peace like a bride radiant and joyous comes the Sabbath. And I'll now in fulfillment say what the Jews could never say. For Jesus Christ is brought to us in blessing that we would learn more and more to rest in him. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of rest. And forgive us that our attitude has been so sour and we have commitments everywhere else. So sour to you. Have you made a burden for us to come and worship you? It really is a test of where we are. A test of belief and faith in your promises. May, Lord, we respond by loving your worship, delighting in you, and receiving what we need, and never trying to join with the world and do this on our own. What a tragedy. Thank you for this day of rest. May we, at the Escondido URC, take it all the more seriously. For any who feel chains because of this day, take them off today and let them enjoy the very intention with which you gave them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.